We are continuing to look at the nature of saving faith as it is given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. And faith, this saving faith, which is expounded in this particular chapter, is like a diamond, I think. It has many facets. It has many faces. It is a faith that justifies. We saw that in Abel. We saw that in Enoch, who was taken from this world without death. A wonderful thing. He had right standing with God. We have also seen that this faith is a persevering faith. We saw this in Noah. A wonderful exhibition of this faith as persevering for 120 years building this ark. An amazing thing that took place there. We also saw in the life of Noah that faith involves obedience, that it is a faith in the Savior, that is faith alone in the Savior, but it is a faith which does not stand alone. It is a faith which is worked out in daily life. And that's an important side of this faith. And we find all these things in Abraham, who is before us this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. Plus, we find a wonderful addition in the life of Abraham, another facet of this faith which is set before us, and that is the resurrection. Faith which unites men and women to Jesus Christ, faith which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, is faith in the resurrection. And that's what we come to finally in this exposition in Hebrews chapter 11. But first of all, we back up in the story of Abraham. We back up to the time when Abraham was first called out of Ur of the Chaldees. And we find, first of all, that by faith, Abraham sought after God. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Here is an amazing statement. Abraham, it seems, had a tremendous encounter with God, and Abraham hears God tell him that he needs to forsake the land of his fathers and go to a place. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 tells us, going where he does not know where he is about to go. Let's go back to Genesis and see what takes place here. Genesis chapter 11, first of all. I want to refer to Genesis several times, and so you might want to mark in your Bibles Hebrews 11 there as we go back and forth. But first of all, in Genesis chapter 11, Genesis 11 and verse 27. Now these are the records of the generation of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot, and Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. And Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. I want you to get something here. That is, that God called Abraham to separate himself from idolatry and to leave this land, Ur of the Chaldees, or of the Chaldeans. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us by faith he went out. Okay? It seems this is a first step of faith. And this is one side of what took place in the life of Abraham. Now I want you to read down a little bit further in chapter 12 of Genesis. 12:1. Now the Lord came to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God not only called Abraham to separate himself from the land of his forefathers, which was an idolatrous land, but here also God presents to Abraham the gospel. And we have these two sides. We have the departure of Abraham from idolatry, and we also have, when Abraham comes into the promised land, a presentation by God to Abraham of the gospel. I want you to see this. Verse 3 in chapter 12, the very end of that verse, mark these words now. "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That, my friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is the word of promise that comes to Abraham, and it is in shadow form. It is hidden. It is not direct, but it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's see that. Turn it. Keep your finger here in Genesis. How many fingers do you have? A couple? Go to Galatians now. We're going to go back to Genesis, because I want you to get the sequence of events here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Here is Paul commenting now on the promise which we have just read. Galatians 3 and verse 8. "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you." Quoting from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul says those words are not anything else but the gospel, the good news. And so Abraham has preached to him not only that he must leave the promise or leave the land of his forefathers and idolatry, he also has set before him the promise in seed form of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 11 says he obeys and he leaves the land of his forefathers. Now I want you to see something in Genesis that seems to me that it's terribly important. Go back to Genesis if you would, please. In Genesis chapter 12, and in verse 3, we have this wonderful promise, which is a staggering promise given to Abraham. "In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And if we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, we know that all the families of the earth are blessed in and through the work of Jesus Christ. Thank God that that's the case. But now, turn your Bible just a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I want to read in Genesis chapter 15, beginning from the first verse. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great.' And Abram said, 'O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'Since thou hast given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir.' Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir.' And he took him outside and he said, 'Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' Then he believed in the Lord,
And he, that is God, reckoned it to him as righteousness. In Genesis chapter 15, we find the wonderful statement concerning Abraham when he came to saving faith, when he was actually a recipient of the righteousness which comes from God. And to me, that's very interesting. I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11 now. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed going to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. When Abraham went out at that point, he was not justified, friends. It was later, when he entered the promised land and heard the promises of God again, that he was justified, that he became right with God. It was later. And the Genesis narrative lays that out for us. What was going on? Here's what was going on, it seems to me. Abraham was told by the Word of God that he should forsake idolatry. He was presented the gospel and he heard those things and he became an individual who then sought after God. Look at verse 6 in Hebrews 11. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, who diligently seek him. And Abraham went out from the Ur of the Chaldees as a man who was seeking God. You know, there are a lot of people in the visible church of Jesus Christ today who have been told, and they know right well, it is their obligation to forsake idolatry. And on the other hand, they have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're not saved people. They need to be seeking the Lord. They need to seek the Lord while he may be found. That's the mode that Abraham was in. And when Abraham sought the Lord and came into the promised land, then he was justified. Then he received right standing with God. And it seems to me, friends, that is an amazing sequence of events. Let's turn then to the next verses in Hebrews chapter 11. 9 and 10, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now in the promised land, having heard the promises of God again, having God said to him, that he reckoned it to him as righteousness, that Abraham was justified now, that he had right standing with God now. He lived in the promised land as an heir of the promises of God. And amazingly enough, it says that he lived as an alien in the promised land. And that was shown by the fact that he lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the promise. There was no permanent dwelling place established by Abraham in that land. Think about that now. No permanent dwelling place was established. You know, I'm amazed at myself, and I'm amazed at all of us in actuality, how much time and energy and money we spend establishing for ourselves in this world permanent dwelling places. In fact, That is probably the preoccupation that we have in this life, is establishing for ourselves permanent dwelling places. Most of us are taught that we go to school for one purpose. Get a better education so we can what? Earn more money. Right? Isn't that why we go to school? So we can establish for ourselves in this life permanent dwelling places. I know people in this life who are establishing for themselves homes so that when they depart this life, a memorial will be in this world for them. Not so with Abraham. A little different perspective on this life. He was a stranger and an alien in this life, the scriptures tell us. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. Where is your citizenship, friend, this morning? Is the citizenship you have in Sterling, Kansas, or Hutchinson, Kansas, or Marquette, Kansas, or Colorado, or whatever it might be, is that the important citizenship that you hold? I talked to a fellow yesterday at the State Fair who said that he was there to do his civic duty. That's why he was there. That was the important thing. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your citizenship, as Paul says, is not in this world. Your citizenship is in heaven, from where Jesus Christ will come and you await His coming. And that was Abraham's perspective. Look at verses 9 and 10 again. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for that heavenly city. He was looking for that new Jerusalem. He was looking for that place. That's what he was looking for. And that's where the eye of his faith was focused. And that's what justifying faith does. That's another facet of it. And Sarah was there with him in all of this. Lagging at times, moving ahead at times. The picture that is painted of Sarah is very interesting. By faith also, Sarah was justified. Let's look at those verses in Hebrews 11. Verses 11 and 12. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. You know, when Sarah first heard that promise of God, do you remember what she did? She laughed. She said, "You got to be kidding me. Here I am, a woman past the childbearing years, and you're telling Abraham that we're going to have children that number like the sand of the seashore and the stars in the heaven. You got to be kidding me. What a joke." She laughed. And the scriptures say, first of all, that she laughed to herself. Let's look at it. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 18, because a vital comparison needs to be made. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 11. Genesis 18:11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. You know, I don't think any of us in this room understand what old is here, as the scriptures relate it. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing, And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Well, let's see here. And the Lord said, verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh. For she was afraid, and she said, no, but I did not laugh. She was scared. God caught her, and she was afraid because she did laugh. And then the word of the Lord came back saying, is there anything too great, impossible for the Lord? No, couldn't be. And look what happens. Turn to Genesis 22. When the promise is fulfilled. Genesis 22. I'm sorry, 21. I got you in the wrong place here. 21. Verse 5. 21:5. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. It only took 25 years for this promise to come. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And there was laughter of joy. And there was laughter of great joy and excitement that God had brought this child. What joy had come. Abraham and Sarah believed God, and it was reckoned to them as righteousness. They had right standing with God. I want you to see this, folks, that when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, he left as a man believing that God existed and that he was a rewarder of those who seek after him. And then he went into the promised land. And when there, he did trust that promise along with Sarah. And it was 25 years. 25 years later when Isaac was born. Tell me, did Abraham move from faith to faith? You bet he did. Let's see the next step. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. Here comes God now after this son is born, Isaac, the child of the promise. And God says, take your son, your only son, take him up to Mount Moriah, lay him on an altar there, and sacrifice your son, your only son. But God, this is the child through whom you said all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Yes, that's the son. And Abraham took him. And you remember the story, how he took him on that journey. And they went up to the mountain. And Abraham bound Isaac and put him on the altar. And the knife was raised. And the angel of the Lord said to Abraham, there stop now. I know that your faith is that kind of faith which is truly justifying faith, because you have not withheld your son, your only son. There are some who say that Abraham would not have gone through with that sacrifice. I disagree. Abraham would have gone through with that sacrifice. And verse 19 in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us why. Abraham considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abraham would have gone through with that sacrifice. Why? Because his faith was a faith in the resurrection of the dead. Abraham moved from faith to faith. And when tested, he showed that his faith was a faith in the resurrection of the dead. Where is your faith? Is it the simple faith that God exists and is a rewarder of those who seek him, and it stops there? No, it cannot stop there. It must move forward and believe the gospel promise. It must trust in Jesus Christ explicitly. And not only so, it must be a faith in the resurrection of the dead. What does Paul tell us? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul very clearly says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Confession alone will not get you. There must be, dear friends, faith in the resurrection from the dead. Is that where your faith is this morning? That's the faith of Abraham. And dear friends, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit of the living God will bring to your heart that very same faith. Let's pray together. Father, may it be that we who are present here this morning will be like Abraham and Sarah, that we will move from a simple faith that you exist and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek after you, that we will move from that broad faith to that specific faith in Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.